gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the day with occasional thunder showers of free speech because, you know, it's sunny. We try to have a good time, but there's a lot of angst and trepidation out there. There really is. And you'll hear that spoken about freely here, too. So support RBN. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Send the badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Can you hear the cicadas?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, they don't always come through on these Skype calls. But yeah, I've got my posse with me. All right, so we just finished up on part one of the Patrick and Jeremy show. And we've got more issues we'll be talking about on this show. But I just wanted to very briefly address, you know, we had three callers. And the second and third caller in particular kind of reflected a pessimism and a desperation that is widely felt because the hour is very late. People see what's happening to our country. They see what's happening to what you used to call Americans. Now you call them white supremacist terrorists. We see what's happening, and we're rudderless. So we don't have any viable mass movement. We don't have leaders who seem to be willing to do what's necessary, and in some cases, or maybe in most cases, don't even know what needs to be done, let alone whether or not they're willing to do so. And yet, I think, and you know, some people might agree with me, that there is a way to salvage at least a fair amount. You know, and step one really has to be addressing the problem, the Jewish power problem. We have a country that is dominated by Jewish power. And nobody's willing to talk about it. And, you know, instead they'll look at the fires that the Jewish power sets. I mean, we wouldn't have this child tranny or tranny issue at all if it wasn't for Jewish power. We wouldn't have all these anti-white narratives everywhere, or this whole white woke agenda if it wasn't for Jewish power. We wouldn't have these crazy wars everywhere if it wasn't for Jewish power. And there are people who want to put out these various fires, but they don't want to address the arsonist. And that is not a viable way forward. The viable way forward is to finally address the issue of Jewish power. That's the way I see it. And then, you know, how do you salvage? Well, you've talked about salvaging through getting your voice heard in grassroots and local level first. So anyway, I just wanted to kick it out there. There is this tone of pessimism and desperation that sometimes finds itself in the form of calls for violence or just a black-pilled, you know, we've already lost. There's nothing we can do. So I'm just kicking that out to you before we move on to other subjects.
Yeah, I do feel this with the callers on RBN and their initial reaction, you know, as most red-blooded Americans bring the violence to the system. There's many problems with that. First of all, the system wants that. I think that's why they're fomenting all of this outrage over the movie Sound of Freedom. They're exposing the Hunter Biden laptop thing. The incompetency of Biden's exposed. You have Trump indicted. They would like nothing better than for right-wing Trump supporters, pro-white people, even if implicitly, they would like nothing better than for these people to get out in the street and do some kind of violence. That would definitely be the fodder that they need, that Merrick Garland needs, to finally say, look, we have white supremacist terrorists right here in the street. We need to craft legislation against these type of people. That would play into their hands. Now, don't get me wrong. If we end up in a South African situation, you know, as the Boer farmers are in, where violence is brought to their doorstep, self-defense is always on the table and should be done. But bringing the violence to them is just—it's not feasible. The system is too powerful. When I talk about building grassroots supports with your school boards, your city councils, your county municipalities, and your state legislatures, I'm talking about a scenario where you get local law enforcement, sheriffs, and small town police chiefs on your side. I want to see a point where the FBI is not allowed into a county or into a town to raid your house because local law enforcement says, no, we don't recognize your jurisdiction. That's where I would like to see it go. Whether that's feasible or not is another issue, because then, you know, any sheriff or city police chief that stands against the federal government, you know, you could talk about federal funds being withheld from that county, city, or state. So they have a lot of leverage. They have a lot of power there. But it's a beginning. It's something. It's getting people on board with the message, and it's more than just pushing back against CRT. It's saying that CRT is anti-white hate. It's more than just pushing back against, quote, the establishment, unquote. It's getting people convinced that the establishment is Jewish dominated, and they have a plan to eradicate, to eliminate whites, that through immigration, legal and illegal. Convincing people in your local level politics of that is really where it starts. If we can't do that, then it's not going to be a winning battle. We will go the way of the South African Boers. That's my comments on that whole thing.
And, you know, one more question. Obviously, we're talking about the frustration that's being voiced by regular people and our own disappointment with leadership. And so, you know, it's not necessarily all the same people who are responsible for the same things or who are saying the same things or who are failing to say things. But, you know, there's this question, like, white people have been – well, white people in general aren't terribly violent. They're way less violent than you know, blacks or Muslims or – Hispanics, at least in the context of the United States. There are some who pop off. Occasionally, you'll have an individual who pop off. But, you know, you don't have white gangs. You don't have white street gangs. You don't have white riots. You don't have these things. I mean, you have had some militias organized, but even the militias, it's largely very LARPy stuff. And the one time, you know, the few times the militias come into play in like January 6th, they get smacked down, you know. And of course, on January 6th, they were used. So you have that, but it's kind of the question. I mean, white people are very polite. They're too polite to call out Jewish power. It's like, oh, well, we don't want to do that. That would be anti-Semitic. And you know, these poor people. So I mean, are white people more likely to engage in an armed uprising or call out Jewish power, or are both of those just things that are really beyond imagination, that things that would never happen? Are you ever going to have either like white people in significant numbers or white leaders call out Jewish power, or is that never going to happen? I'm just asking. It's just before we get into everything else.
this is blackpilling my own point, but I have to go there. The type of people that you would rally in a small town, in a town that pushed back against COVID, a county that pushed back against COVID, even with the sheriffs not willing to implement COVID measures, sheriffs not willing to allow BLM protests in their streets. In that scenario, these type of people, these type of right-wing, mostly Trump-supporting, Christian-tier people, they're brainwashed with Christian Zionism in a lot of times. They're brainwashed with, let's go to war with China, because the Chinese are you know, controlling Biden and all of that. So it kind of gets into this impossible situation, and I feel that frustration where, okay, I'm saying we should organize at this grassroots lower level, but you got to overcome all of that with these people. These are the kind of people that buy into Q, you know, that think that Trump's going to run everything from prison. These are things you have to overcome, and it's very difficult to get them to deny everything they've been taught in their churches and go against Jewish power. Even if you put the scriptures to them, like I'm very good at doing, they may shake their head, but getting the implementation, that's the difficult part. So that's the thing. I've mentioned that before. We brag on these state legislatures, like in Kentucky, in Tennessee, in Missouri, that have pushed back against trannyism and COVID and all that. But a lot of these same legislatures would be in support of sending money to Ukraine or in support of rattling the sabers against China over Taiwan. Because that's the Fox News type thing they've been, you know, conditioned with.
Indeed it is. All right. Well, let's move on to the planned content of the show. What's up next?
Well, you mentioned in Patrick and Jeremy Part 1 on In Plain Sight, the Jew, Victoria Nuland, not even being welcomed into Niger to speak with the democratically elected president, quote-unquote, ? Obviously, a president installed by the West, and now you have this military junta in Niger, and it has very vicious public support, the military coup does. And they even, I covered this last night on my, or Monday night on my show, Niger's closed down airspace, anticipating the West doing some sort of retaliation. So, you know, Africa is part of the they're on board with Russia on this. They're against the West. The West is losing control of Africa, an area that is very wealthy in things like uranium and other very important assets that governments of the world need. I mentioned Monday night that, you know, America had sanctioned Niger, and so Niger cut uranium supplies to France in response. Africa is a big player in the new shift towards the East, this shift where the United States is not a unipolar power, where we have many governments taking power on the global scale, led by China and Russia. And China's very entrenched in Africa. Russia has many allies with Africa. I want to get to some of those points with you later, Russia's involvement with South Africa in particular. But it seems like all of these countries have had to choose, and they have picked the East. They have picked Russia and China. And it's all over the conflict in Ukraine. That's sort of what unraveled the whole thing. Your comments on that?
Yeah, so Victoria Nuland, apparently she got into Niger. I saw a picture of her. Her and two other women. I couldn't recognize them. And can you imagine you're a junta that just took over a country, Niger, which, by the way, has the highest birth rate in the world.
Yes.
And the average, the highest birth rate in the world, or highest fertility rate, and the average age of a Niger person. It's, what do you call a Niger person? Because there's a country, Nigeria, and Nigeria, people live there are Nigerians. So how about the Nigers?
We call them, Bad. Go ahead.
Anyway, so the average age in Niger is like 18 or 19. So these are very young. So you're talking about a junta. military people who have taken over a very, very young country. And then you've got what's supposed to be the biggest, most powerful country in the world, send over these three, like, post-menopause women. Victoria Nuland, of course, has gotten quite fat over the years. And they're going to be giving orders to these beret, khaki beret-wearing African men who have just taken over a desert country. You know, it's bizarre. And so she was not permitted to see the leader of the junta. I guess she met with the defense chief. And what she told them, according to her own press conference, what she told them is that, according to American law, that in a country where an unconstitutional coup ousts a democratically elected president, they are not allowed to provide aid, especially military aid. Now, how rich is this? Because Victoria Nuland was photographed widely being in the streets of Kiev in January and February, actually even in December of 2013-2014, promoting and assisting the violent, unconstitutional coup that ousted the democratically elected president of Ukraine. And then she marshaled massive American aid, in particular military aid, to Ukraine. I mean, so how utterly hypocritical and transparently hypocritical. So the whole thing is a farce. And just finally, so Nigeria, you know, a lot of people might not be up to date on the demographics of the African continent, but these are countries that have had very high birth rates for decades. Ever since European colonialism, which introduced all sorts of health measures and public sanitation measures and whatnot, that reduced infant mortality, reduced mortality in general, but the birth rates have stayed high. So you've got these exploding populations. You know, Nigeria, there are more black people in Nigeria than there are white people in America. It's an enormous country. It's got 230 million people. These countries are exploding. And Nigeria is the big one, and it's got oil. It's still a mess, but it's got a lot of oil. It's got a huge population, and they are on team Zionism at this point. But you've got Niger and two other countries nearby, one Mali and one Burkina Faso, formerly called Upper Volta, and they're neighboring countries, and they're smaller, with smaller populations. Well, Mali has a huge area, but that's where Timbuktu is, by the way, but it's mostly desert, and they have said that any attack on Niger is an attack on them, so they're lining up. Meanwhile, you still have some countries, I think Ivory Coast, which is now called Cote d'Ivoire, that's the French name for it, Cote d'Ivoire, and a couple other countries, Senegal maybe, are lining up with Team Zionism. So you could have a massive war in West Africa. That is a possibility.
Even before Taiwan.
Not.
Well, we worry about the conflict in Taiwan. This Africa thing's heating up pretty fast. It could happen before Taiwan.
It could happen before Taiwan.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance it takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Worry about the conflict in Taiwan. This Africa thing's heating up pretty fast. It could happen before Taiwan. This isn't that political article I sent you. Newland said to the leaders that if they don't support democracy, if democracy's not restored, meaning, you know, they're democratic, the West's favored leader, if he's not let out of holding and restore, that they will cut off all support. So there's even more sanctions. So the question is, will Niger seek that support from China and Russia? Are they already getting?
Yeah. How much support is the United States really giving to Niger? I think there is a small American military base there. And I think the Niger people, the Nigers, would be more than happy to have that support removed. They'd be more than happy to have it removed. And China has been very effective in investing in Africa. And the Russian group, it's always called private. To what extent is it really private? To what extent is it kind of a front for the Russian intelligence? But the Wagner group has ties in Africa, and so who knows what's going to be happening there? Wagner, Prigozhin, yeah.
I would say there's a lot of talk of Wagner going to Africa, and which is maybe why Putin didn't put him down.
Yeah, who knows? That's, at this point, a little bit beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, so the, you know, the Junta military leader here, his first name's Mohammed. I'm not even going to attempt his last name, you know. Newland shows up and he's like, yo, we Najas, we don't roll that way, woman. That's probably what he said, you know, in so many African cliques and ooga boogas and all of that. But the point being that the West is completely irrelevant here. They're not even giving the West an audience, you know, in the form of Newland, Secretary of State.
Yeah, the Deputy Secretary of State.
Yep.
Acting, because the Senate's not confirming her.
Right.
So she's acting at this point. Yeah, and
which shows her power, by the way. I'm just saying, which shows her power. She just plows right on through and does whatever she wants.
Yeah. And we call it Niger. The French pronunciation is Niger, so whatever.
These Nijas.
I don't know what the Russian pronunciation is. Maybe they'll start going with the Russian pronunciation before long.
Oh, I know what the correct pronunciation is. Don't. No. But yeah. So you got Russia. I mean, backing this possibly with Wagner coming in. Did we exhaust our conversation on this particular part? I wanted to get into South Africa eventually.
Yes, let's do that. Let's move on.
So I know that, you know, I've read articles, I've heard other commentaries in Julius Malema's, you know, in South Africa, his vocal support of Putin. Of course, Malema is leading the South African communist government, openly talking about genociding white Boer farmers. They're singing songs about it, saying the song is official. And it's not racist at all. I mean, it's a thing. So I have a little trouble with that. I've got some trouble with, so far I'm reading of them supporting Putin. I'm having trouble getting confirmation of Putin supporting them. You know, and I know in the past I've heard Russia's taken in Boer farmers to their credit. I mean, is Russia doing this as a matter of strategy? I know Africa is a huge player in the upcoming global economy, where the East trades with Europe, where Greater Israel is a landmass sort of between the East and Africa. What's going on with the support of Malema for Putin? Because he's been very vocal about that. Malema has.
I'm not that up to date on it. The president of South Africa is Cyril Ramaphosa, or I guess that's how you say it. And he's African National Congress. The ruling party is the African National Congress. And by the way, at ANC rallies over the years, they have sung that same song. You know, the song is pretty offensive, and we as white people are taught that you mustn't ever offend anybody.
Yeah.
But you know what's concrete is the violent attacks on white farmers.
Right.
So that's what's really concrete, and that happens. That's a real thing.
Just to clarify what I was saying, Julius Malema, president of the Economic Freedom Fighters, the EFF in Africa, described by the media as Marxist-Leninist.
That yeah. There is or at least there was, a Communist Party in South Africa that during the...
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
By the media as Marxist-Leninist.
There is a, or at least there was, a communist party in South Africa that during the, for a long time, 70s, 80s, into the 1990s, was led by a white Jew whose family was from Lithuania. He might have been born in South Africa, I'm not sure. His name was Joe Slavo. And the African National Congress, is kind of an umbrella group. And so the South African Communist Party was part of the African National Congress. And Joe Slavo was widely regarded as the number two person in the African National Congress during the 1980s, when the number one person, Nelson Mandela, was in prison. So you did have this Jew who was, to a large extent, running the show for the African National Congress, which wound up becoming the ruling party. And you've had a few presidents come and go since then. This person you're talking about, the economic freedom fighters or whatever it is, I haven't done enough of a study, but he seems so. Well, here's the thing. So you had this. We talk about BRICS, right? But it started off as BRICS: Brazil, Russia, India, China. It was these four countries came together in a very informal way and had meetings. And then at some point along the way, They invited South Africa to come too. Now, the Chinese are much more involved in Africa than the Russians are currently. But the Russians, or the Soviets at least, had been involved in Africa in the Cold War years, and largely in support of anti-colonial movements and whatnot. And so in contrast to Britain or France or even the United States, the Russians aren't viewed as, former colonizers. They're viewed as, former allies. I don't know. Like, what's going on in South Africa internally with you do have, and you have had for a while, violence against white farmers. And the word Boer means farmer in the Afrikaner language, which is an offshoot of the Dutch language. The Dutch started settling South Africa over 300 years ago. And so they're Boer culture, they're farmers, and they've been successful farmers. And what's been happening over the past several decades in South Africa and nearby Zimbabwe is blacks taking over white run farms and then not running them well, and you've got result in Zimbabwe, you wind up with resulting food shortages, because and even in some cases begging white farmers to come back because they do a better job managing the farms. But this is what's going on. So on the one hand, internally, you've got South Africa, which I guess the government could be, like I say, I'm not an expert in this, but the government could at least be called a tacit supporter of the violence against the Boers. On the other hand, right. South Africa, along with Nigeria, these are the two countries in sub-Saharan Africa, in Black Africa, that have advanced economies. And so I suppose from the point of view of the BRIC countries, the inclusion of South Africa as kind of a representative of Africa was a strategic move. But, the South African economy, its national strength, its military potential, its, area, its population is much, much smaller than the other four countries in the BRICS. So, whether it was a good move to bring it in or not is another issue.
Is it built up? Is the South African economy built up by the West, Russia, or China? I would lean towards China.
Well, the South African economy was built up by South African whites. You had, 5 million, a white population of say 5 to 6 million, 50 years ago, at a time when the overall population was somewhere between 20 and 25 million. So whites were making up about 20% of the population. It's much smaller percentage now because the blacks have the big birth rate, and there's also been black immigration into South Africa, which black South Africans are opposed to, but it's happening anyway. But the whites who are there, 5 million is, what was the population of a lot of, smaller European countries at the time, 5 million. It was like the population of Switzerland or something. And these were people that the farms, the agricultural sector was productive. The mining sector in particular was productive. South Africa has very good endowment of all sorts of minerals, gold, diamonds, coal, and other things, probably cobalt and a lot of other materials. So the mining sector was really big, and that's what made it an advanced country, a relatively advanced country. Now, of course, unfortunately, this is part of it, the whites aren't completely blameless, right, for their current situation. The whites could have divided up the country and kept a viable portion for themselves and offered a viable portion to the blacks. But the official offers that were, or the official policy of grand apartheid that was being pursued in the 70s and 80s and eventually spawned some nominally independent black homelands, it didn't offer the blacks viable. It could have offered, if they had offered the blacks more, then they could have kept something. The whites could have kept something. They could have kept something viable. They didn't offer the blacks enough. And then one other criticism I've heard from a young South African was, because my parents weren't willing to make their own beds, they will wind up being murdered in their own beds. So, you know, they were that, yeah. They were too reliant on black labor.
Well, yeah, Jewish communism, you know, disrupted apartheid. Mandela took over, and then the West sort of pressured the apartheid to accept this through various social and economic sanctions, if I understand correctly. Definitely the whites built up the economy there, but who's maintaining it is my question. Like, who's mining these minerals? Is China the major player in that? And let me tell you,
it may well be. I couldn't tell you definitively, but China's very active across the continent.
I'll just tell you where I'm going with it. I'm trying to confirm or discount rumors I've heard on various talk shows that Putin is supporting the EFF in South Africa. And what does support mean? I know the EFF supports him. I mean, Malema, you can pull up, I just pulled this up online, several YouTube videos of EFF stands with Vladimir Putin. Malema reaffirms support of Putin for Russia. They even offered to make sure he wasn't arrested if he would have attended the BRICS summit. They had a recent BRICS summit right in South Africa, and Putin wouldn't go. So I can't make heads or tails of this. These are all headlines too. Putin will not attend BRICS summit in South Africa.
Yeah. I think that BRICS summit is about to happen, isn't it? Like, I think it's in the coming days. But
he's not going to talk. I can't make heads or tails of whether how much is it that he supports them or they just support him, because it's they see Russia as, you know, pushing back against the West and they hate the West.
There are an awful lot of people out there in the so-called right-wing internet that, for whatever reason, want to say that Putin's in on the plan. He's some sort of Jewish shill, and, you know, all for whatever reason, he's part of some fake plot to overthrow his own government. I don't know. There are just people like that. I'm not sure exactly where this comes from. I know, obviously, you had my entire generation was indoctrinated with anti-Russian propaganda our entire lives. And I don't know if this is residue from that. I think there's also people, I criticize this position. There seem to be people who say everything is planned. Jews plan everything. Jews never lose.
All right. And I'm not in that camp. I mean, I definitely see Putin as being a targeted world leader. You can see that in the media and the diaspora Jews desperately wanting to overthrow him. So then my next question is there a deep state in Russia that's just, you know, doing its thing, sort of like in a deep state in the U.S. and this deep state is forming alliances, you know, with Africa, specifically the EFF, for the purpose of fighting back against the greater evil, what they consider the greater evil, the West, you know, similarly to how the U.S. and Britain formed an alliance with Russia in World War II against what they called the greater evil, Germany. I'm wondering if there's a deep state push. Definitely the majority of the global Jewish diaspora wants Putin out of power. I mean, he messed up their plans in Syria. He's trying to form an alliance, a natural geopolitical alliance with Germany that should exist. And they've been trying to stop that since World War I. So that, you know, you got this going on. You see that with the Nord Stream pipelines being bombed. So at all costs, they want to stop this alliance with Russia and Europe at all costs. That's something they cannot accept.
Yeah. I mean, right now, Putin's got his plate full. Obviously, there's this stuff going on in Ukraine. And then, you know, what are his priorities? His priorities, what's going on in Ukraine? His priorities are setting up a kind of alternative international financial and military and political structures that center around itself in China and, you know, India, Brazil, but especially the China-Russia alliance. These are at the top of its list. What goes on in domestically in South Africa, to the extent that he has time to think about it, what does he think? I don't know. But, you know, that's got to be way down on the list.
It wouldn't surprise me if Putin, you know, in Russia, it wouldn't surprise me if they were supporting the EFF for a matter of strategy, not to indict Putin on some sort of white genocide agenda. But
the EFF, as I understand it, they are a radical rival to the ruling ANC, right? And the ANC, you know, the South African government is part of BRICS. So I don't know if what the point of when you've already got the South African government integrated into the BRICS system, what's the point of undermining the government leadership by cooperating with some sort of radical alternative?
Yeah, I see. So the EFF to the Central African government in BRICS, the EFF to them would be like a militia clan group in America.
Maybe. I don't want to overstate my credentials here. I'm not up to date on what's going on. I don't know exactly the relationship between the EFF and the ANC, but I think they're rivals. I don't know, but you know, I don't know. It's not as if the ANC is going to great efforts to prevent violence against poor farmers. So I don't know. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, interesting discussion in South Africa. I was going to say, what do you want to go to?
What do we have left?
Oh, let's see. Reparations finally beginning in St. Louis. Okay. This is something you covered. I think you covered it with Mark Collett on your Monday show.
Yeah.
They did some kind of Boomer Vision Tuesday. I caught most of that. So apparently the rioters during the summer of Floyd, St. Floyd, patron saint of fentanyl and meth and crack, these rioters who were arrested and violently arrested by St. Louis police, there was a killing that happened by one of the St. Louis police officers.
Actually, the St. Louis story predates George Floyd.
That goes back to 2017, right?
It goes back the killing of the good boy who was wanted on armed robbery charges and fled police in a car chase and wound up getting shot. That happened in 2011, and then the trial of the police officers, the verdict came in 2017, and that's when the riots happened.
Yeah, and then I guess with George Floyd and all of that happening, you know, they acquitted the police officer in light of all of the Floyd stuff.
They acquitted the police officer in 2017, so that's 3 years before Floyd. But now this settlement is happening 3 years after Floyd, and you do have, I guess, New York and a few other cities, and maybe St. Louis was one of them. But there are a few cities that have already paid out settlements to Summer of Floyd rioters. So that's already a precedent that's been established.
That's where I'm getting confused. Okay, I got it.
That's it.
I got it. So anyway, the rioters in St. Louis, as well as many other liberal cities, then are getting, I would call them reparations, but settlements, I guess, is the official name. They rioted, they were violent, they were arrested, and now they're getting settlements because their First Amendment rights were violated. Whether they were rioting for the police officer in 2017 that was acquitted, or whether they rioted in the summer of Floyd, you're getting, I guess, predominantly black people getting settlements now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What message does this send then, you know, to white people that would protest?
That if blacks riot and the police protect you, then you've got to pay the black rioters. I mean, and this is the thing. You try to tell. I don't know if the foreign press is picking this up and reporting it in their in other countries. Try explaining this to an Oriental, or to, you know, somebody. Maybe you could explain it to somebody from Britain because they got enough similar stuff going on over there. But if somebody from a serious country looking at this, it's insane. And so we don't have a serious country. And, you know, this is what people around the world have to realize. The United States, it's not a serious country. It's not, this is not in any way a sustainable situation. Why would you want to tie yourself to the United States, right? If you're Japan or Korea or Philippines or whatever, why would you want to be tied to what obviously is a sinking ship? This is a sinking ship. There's no way that a country like ours is sustainable. Something's going to happen. I don't know what, but something's going to happen.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Why would you want to be tied to what's obviously a sinking ship? This is a sinking ship. There's no way that a country like ours is sustainable. Something's going to happen. I don't know what, but something's going to happen.
Whoa, got off mute. You mentioned Orientals. Orientals are huge targets for black crime in these big cities. Yeah, they feel the pain.
Yeah, they do. But they, I mean, I'm sure the Japanese media is not reporting this. Probably the Korean media is not reporting this.
Well, you mentioned those particular medias in Japan and Korea. They sort of piggyback off of the West.
They do.
West media as what's acceptable to report. I wonder what China, though, would be reporting on. I mean, would they have accurate reporting on these things? What do they think of black crime in America? That's a question. Yeah,
I tried to follow the Chinese press. I mean, I can read headlines usually pretty well. And for a while, I haven't been doing it recently, but I was trying to follow the Chinese press. And I didn't see a whole lot of this type of thing. You know, they, even though China's obviously not a U.S. allied country, they do suffer from some of the same problems that the other Orientals have. And that's that their languages are very different from our language. They send, you know, they might have foreign correspondents in America, but they're not capable of really comprehending what's going on. They can't do primary reporting. And so they rely on CNN and the New York Times and other so-called reputable sources and rely really way too much on translation. And so they don't have at all an accurate view of what's going on, which is probably less the case for European countries. But maybe, I mean, the European countries, they're so censored, who knows? But yeah, these, I tell you, the Orientals don't have an eye, they don't have a clue of what's going on in the United States.
Something you covered in one of your shows, getting back to the American white populace and their response to these settlements of black rioters, the decline of cities, of populations in these cities like St. Louis. So let's see, what is this ABC News article that we're going over? Some of the people who were arrested during the 2017 protests over the acquittal of a white police officer in the shooting death of Anthony Lamar Smith. These protesters have started to receive their share of a $4.9 million settlement to the city agreed to this year, I guess meaning 2023. The settlement checks were going out Friday, just this past Friday, to like 84 people. What do white people in St. Louis think of that? Is this type of thing contributing to white flight from big cities?
Well, yeah, and it's got to be. And I, you know, we're almost out of time, but I was reading out some numbers for the cities that are suffering the most rapid depopulation. And Jackson, Mississippi's at the top. And Jackson, Mississippi, basically, there aren't any white people left there. And the city's falling apart. The water system doesn't work. The trash doesn't get collected. It's just no longer functioning as a center of civilization. It's just not. And St. Louis isn't that far behind. So, yeah, that's what's happening. And, you know, that's just one other aspect of the unsustainability of the United States. We have these cities that are just becoming these third world hellholes.
Well, they're becoming South Africa, as we have predicted for 3 years.
And that's right.
That's why people go to the suburbs, and then eventually they bring the blacks to you in the rural areas and the suburbs.
Well, anyway, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Patrick, please, my friend, try to stay classy.
I've been doing better lately. Thank you very much, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of the Radio.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't! can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because